Well, today we're going to share a message that I prepared for Mexico. I wasn't prepared to share it today, but Peter's very sick at home with flu-like symptoms. And so when I spoke to him, I said that I would fill in and I would do this. And anyway, so here we go. The title of the message is Why Apostles and Prophets? And this is based on the conference called Built on the Foundation. Okay? So, Father, I just ask that you would bring revelation to each of us. And even with regards to what Pat just shared, that your kingdom would come and that your will would be done in each of our lives. And so I just ask that in your name, Jesus. Amen. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. And so before I speak on apostles and prophets, I want to speak to the whole gamut here. Okay? And so this is starting in verse 11. Ephesians 4, starting in verse 11. We've heard this scripture over and over again. But let's look at it one more time. It says, He gave some as apostles, some as prophets. I knew how it went, but I wasn't reading that. Anyway. He gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers. And why did he give them? Number one, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the service. That's exactly what Pat was saying, that our kingdom would come and that we would fulfill the works of the service. And then he says it's the building up of the body of Christ. So these ministries are to build up us, each and every one, not just the leadership and have all the people sit in the pews, but for every single member to be functioning. It says, until we attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. So to me, what that is saying is, it's going to come a time where the entire body of Christ, when we come together, people will come in here and not see us. They will see Jesus. And we know that Jesus is multifaceted, which is why he gives us these five particular ministries. The apostle just means one sent out on a commission. I heard that. That's okay. Maybe it was. Okay. So the apostle just means one who is sent down on a commission. He's sent out to do a specific task. And a prophet means speaking forth the mind and counsel of God, the forthtelling of the will of God, whether it's in reference to the past, the present, or the future. And so that's just proclaiming the word of God. The evangelist is a bearer or a bringer of good news or glad tidings, also translated the gospel. And the pastor is a shepherd. He's a tender of flocks. And the teacher just means he's an instructor. Now, let me give you a couple of scriptures for each of these. With regards to the apostle, it says, Therefore, holy brethren, this is in Hebrews 3:1. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider Jesus the apostle and high priest of our confession. So he is the one that we should be looking to see what the apostolic ministry is. And Luke 24:19, it says the things about Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word in the sight of God and all people. So Jesus, again, he is our model of the prophet. With regards to the evangelist, Luke 8:1, it says, soon afterwards he began going around from city and village to another, proclaiming and preaching the kingdom of God. And with regards to him being a pastor or a shepherd, John 10:11 says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And then as a teacher, as an instructor, once again, he is our role model in all of this. And it says, they called him in Matthew 22:26, teacher, which is the great commandment. And in Mark 6:2, it says, when Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogues. And we know that we could find probably hundreds of scriptures for the teacher, the pastor, and all these different things in the scripture. Now, each one of these gifts, like I said, they represent the ministries of Jesus. And the church needs to be equipped in each of these areas so that they fully represent him. We come to the maturity of Christ. Okay? So that means the church is to be apostolic. The church is to be prophetic. The church is to be evangelistic. The church is to be pastoral. The church is to teach. Now let me say that again. The church is to be apostolic, but you don't need to be an apostle to be sent. Okay? The church needs to be prophetic, but you don't need to be a prophet to prophesy. The church needs to be evangelistic, but you don't need to be an evangelist to share the gospel. The church is to be pastoral, but you don't need to be a pastor to shepherd somebody. The church is to teach, but you don't need to be a teacher to teach. Do you agree with that? This is for all of us. Those ministries are to equip us in all of those areas so that we understand them and we understand the dynamics of what's going on in the church, why certain people have certain bents and directions and focuses in their lives. It's because God has called them in a particular direction. And if they're hearing the Lord right and they're moving forward, well, then that's the apostolic and prophetic call. They're hearing the Lord and they're moving in that. I'm just jump to the next topic. Okay. So this is why it says again, to building up the body of Christ until we attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Knowing our place in relation to Jesus and to others. So, since we know that we are walking alongside Jesus in our lives, right? Well, to me, in the first place we need to start is the foundation of the church. And what does that mean? And that's why the question, why apostles and prophets? So now I'll turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Starting in verse 17. Ephesians 2:17. And he came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. So you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. So that's what we're built on. We're built on, it says the apostles and prophets, and so I want to bring clarity to that, okay? So what is so special about the apostle and the prophet? Well, let's start with the prophet. Again, the prophet means speaking forth the mind and counsel of God, the foretelling of the will of God, whether in reference to the past, present, or future. Okay? So in order for any individual to speak the words of God, what do they have to do first? What's that? You got to hear them. You got to hear the voice of the Lord. You need to know the voice of the Lord. And so that's a foundational thing in our life, is we need to know that we can hear the voice of the Lord. And it's not like the Old Testament where the Lord would put the Holy Spirit on certain people and they would hear the voice of the Lord and no one else could, because it was based on who he anointed at that time to hear his voice and to make those proclamations. But it says in Hebrews, it says, in the old days, God saw, let me actually have that scripture here. Hold on a second. That's where I should have had the scripture. It says, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days he's spoken to us in his Son, whom he's appointed heir over all things, through whom he also made the world. And so, if he's speaking now through his Son, where is his Son? He's in us. Right? We surrender to the Lord. He has come and he's in us, so he speaks to us. Isn't that true? John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them and they follow me. How simple is that? My sheep hear my voice. Now, we can listen to him and obey, or we can ignore him. But he's there. When we've asked him and we've been baptized in the Spirit, he is with us always. And so we can hear the counsel of God. And in Romans 8:14, it says, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. In other words, when we are being led by the Spirit, that means we're hearing God and we're following through with what he's showing us to do. Okay, so that's basically, to me, what a prophet should be equipping the church is to learn how to hear the voice of God. Okay? I don't consider myself a prophet at all, but I know I can hear God. And part of that way is by the prophetic words I've received from people that have confirmed the things that were in my heart. And that's generally what the prophetic word is today, is to confirm that God is speaking to me, and someone comes up and starts saying, wow, I really witnessed to that. I really can say an amen to that. And so then the body's working together. It's encouraging me. It's helping me. And that's how that gift is functioning within the body. Now again, okay, go to the apostle. It says, one sent on a commission. Again, John 5:36 says, but the testimony which I have is greater than the testimony of John, for the works which the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I do testify about me that the Father has sent me. What was Jesus sent for? He He was sent to give his life. And through that, he brings the gospel of the kingdom. He satisfies our sins, each and every one of us, if we believe in him and receive in him. He has settled the debt of our sins that we would have owed. But he came to go to the cross to bear all of that on our behalf. So there it is. There's the foundation. It's very simple. We need to hear the voice of the Lord, and we need to be willing to die to do what God has called us to do. Wow, it's pretty simple, huh? Ouch. I mean, really. This story is, to me, just an unbelievably fantastic story in the Gospels. And it's when Saul gets knocked down. I'm going to read this because it's such a powerful message. Acts 9, starting in verse 1. Now Saul, still breathing the threats of murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked for letters for him to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found anyone belonging to the way, in other words, believers in Jesus, both men and women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. He was kind of a mean dude, huh? As he was traveling, it happened that he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice to him saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" He said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and it will be told you what you must do." Now, that's all the Lord said. Here's a guy who is a murderer. God knocks him down. He makes him blind. He says, "Get up and go to Damascus. I'll talk to you when you get there." And you know what's interesting? He heard the voice of the Lord, and he followed through. So he got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. And leading him by the hand, they brought him to Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither ate or drank. I'd be kind of fearful too. So then the Lord speaks to this guy, Ananias. Acts 19, starting in verse 15. It said, "But the Lord said to him, 'Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the sons of Israel, for I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake.'" So here Ananias is hearing the voice of the Lord, and he's being sent by God, and he goes. It's pretty simple, right? And we can see the dynamics of what's going on. So Ananias departed and entered the house, and after laying his hands on him, said, "Brother Saul, Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he regained his sight. He got up and was baptized, and he took the food and was strengthened. Wow, there was not a lot of teaching there about baptism and being filled with the Spirit. He had no idea what that meant, right? And yet it happened. And then later in Acts 13, if you want to turn there, starting in verse 1. Now there were at Antioch in the church that was there prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius and Cyrene, and Mananine, or something like that, who had grown up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them, sent them away, so that being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. So there was a perfect example of the prophet, the word of God coming, and them being sent. The very foundation is to hear and to do what God has called us to do. I have a quick little story that puts this together real nicely. And this, well, obviously, you know, this is all going to be translated. And I think now that I've shared it, I'm going to have to cut it back because I only have a half hour. And it's got to be translated as well. So I'm going to have to cut some things out. So really what's going on here is very simple. God speaks and people respond. So Pedro asked his mother, "Hey, Mom, can I go out to play?" She said, "Did you do your homework?" He says, "Yes, Mom." She said, "Okay, you go out, but let me see here. How does the story go? And stay close to home." So Pedro goes out, and he meets with his friend Felipe. Felipe has a soccer ball, and they kick the ball around the street for a while. Later, Pedro says to Felipe, "Hey, let's go down to the store down the street." Felipe says, "Why do you have to go to the store?" Pedro responds, "I don't have to go to the store. I just want to buy some candy." Felipe said, "Ooh, sure, that sounds good. That's a good idea. Let's go." And so they went off to the store. Later on the day, Felipe hears his mother calling him, "Felipe, come home right away." Felipe tells Pedro he has to go home now. When Felipe arrives home, his mother says to him, "Felipe, I need you to go to the store and buy a half a kilo of beans, 2 onions, and 4 chiles. Here are 200 pesos to pay for the groceries. Go now and come back." So Pedro and Felipe went to the store because they wanted to buy something for themselves. Felipe heard the voice of his mother calling him. He listened, and he was sent on a mission. He was apostled by his mother to purchase groceries in order to feed the family. That's simple. That's basically what it means. That's a foundational thing. That's the foundation of our life in Christ. And all of this, although the principle hearing and being sent is simple, when applied to the kingdom, it becomes literally a matter of life and death. Like I said before, Jesus was sent from the Father for a very specific task. He was sent to offer himself a sacrifice so as to relieve man of their debt of sin and proclaim the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus heard his Father's voice and he was sent. That is the foundation, hearing the voice of the Father and be willing to lay down our lives for what he calls us to do. And sometimes laying our lives down doesn't really mean to be going somewhere. It just means to do what he's called us to do. John 12:24. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Matthew 16:24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. It doesn't mean to take your little cross and put it around your neck or put it on your t-shirt or on your keychain. It means willing to do exactly what we're called to do. And in Luke 9:23 makes it a little more specific. It says, and he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And I know from experience that I can confidently say that each of us have to die to ourselves and make decisions during the day that we have to say no to ourselves and yes to what God is telling us to do. It could be as simple as picking up the laundry on the floor and putting it into the bureau. I mean, it could be that simple, right? And as we begin to hear the Lord in those simple tasks, he'll begin to give us bigger tasks. First Corinthians 3:10-15. According to the grace of God which was given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, another is building on it. But each man must be careful how he builds on it, for no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built on remains, he will receive a reward. If a man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet through fire. So with that, I thought it was so interesting how the Lord put all this together without me knowing what was going on. I was prepared to share communion today. And this was before I knew I was going to share. All right, where'd it go? Well, here it is. Okay, so before I go there, okay, you'll see the parallel here is really uncanny. So what I'd like to do now is ask everybody to come and take the bread and the wine. The wine is red and the grape juice is white. So why don't you come up and get your elements and have a seat. Then I'm going to read this. This is very short, okay? So, and I'm going to bring Vera hers. In Matthew 16, it says, Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi. He was asking his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, Oh, there's Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it." This is the apostolic call and prophetic call of the church. Jesus wasn't pointing to Peter as the foundation of the church. Jesus was pointing to what God had revealed to Peter. That's the foundation. He said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And we just read this, 1 Corinthians, "For no man can lay a foundation other than which is laid, which is Christ Jesus." Peter heard from the Father that this man in front of him is the Christ, the Son of God. And in a short time, Peter would realize and struggle with the fact that Jesus came to lay his life down for him. And Peter eventually would do the same. And so, here we are now. We together are making a proclamation by taking this cup and by taking this bread. We are making a proclamation that Jesus is who he says he is and that we are his followers. And so we're basically saying, Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. We're also saying that we, too, are willing to lay our lives down on your behalf. Is that true? First Corinthians 11:26, and says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would show each of us what that means to us individually. What does it mean for us to take up our cross and follow you? That is the foundation, and we're proclaiming that you are our foundation. We are proclaiming you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we do believe in you. And we want to follow you. And we know by your grace, we will do that. So let us take the bread and the wine together. Thank you, Father. Lord, I'm just grateful that you have placed us on the foundation of Jesus. Lord, may we never wander off of that foundation. Lord, I want to hear you and I want to obey you. Even when I'm not pleased with what you're asking, I come to you as a living, holy sacrifice before you, O God, just as you have done that for me. And so I just thank you for being here with us today. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.